waiting patiently for what, 2-3 minutes here to find out what this most miserable experience of Doug Lear's.
And there's a lot of them.
And you know, you being you, it's pretty much a daily occurrence.
Pretty much. Well, everybody has this Marlon Perkins, and you know, thinking about this is how great it is. While you know, Marlon
stayed back at camp while Jim went up the river.
I'll stay in the helicopter while Jim gets eaten by the alligator. Wow, Jim, didn't you used to have 10 fingers? Those jaws on an alligator are very strong. They can crush a man's arm. When I think about some of the first one was there was a moose that died in a slough in the Turtle Mountains, and it was like 90 degrees in the middle of summer, and this young buck game warden, I thought, okay, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to find out, did somebody shoot this moose? And then the moose was laying in the slough in about 3 feet of water in 95 degrees and not realizing how long that moose had broiled or boiled or been laying in the water. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut the head off the moose and haul it in. We'll get the x-rays and we'll find the bullet and we'll catch the poacher of this moose. And the first cut with the knife, poof, that big puffball went all over me. That was Marlon Perkins, man. And you know what? You're in full uniform. You know, you've got your game warden, you've got your gun and your body armor and all this stuff on. And that was a stinky, miserable one. One of the, probably somewhere else on the list, what prompted me for that, we were talking about geese and the urban goose problems. And when urban goose problems first began, when there weren't nearly as many golf courses and stormwater retention ponds, we actually did make attempts 20 years ago to try to disperse geese, move them out of areas. Mm-hmm. There's still some golf courses that have specially trained dogs that will help chase the geese to different areas and become somebody else's problem. We would trap geese. And again, when they go into the molt in the late part of summer, it's always hot. And you go out in a canoe and you flip the canoe over into the water hazard on, I can't remember which golf course it is, with the applause from all the other golfers
watching you
as you're trying to round up these stupid geese. And then, as biology would have it, what you end up doing is you're going to band the geese. And you herd them up and they get into small crates and they're all hot and they're excreting waste products all over themselves and everybody else. You have to flip them upside down to check whether they're males or females. And while you do that, they actually also emit that waste. And that goes all over you. Marlon Perkins, folks, the life of a biologist ain't all it looks like on TV.
And
hot goose waste in the middle of summer.
Nice. And speaking of the moose that had the nice spray and the nice... I actually had posted a video off of YouTube or something on my blog last week about... And it was a few years old, but there was a big whale that had beached, a huge, big whale that had beached and been cooking in the sun for a period of time. And the guy who had to deal with it went up and poked it or took a knife to try to, because it was all bloated. It was going to explode. I mean, it was just gases and methane.
One way or the other.
Yep. And so he walks up and sticks a knife in it and boom. Just all over him. And he had rubber knickers on.
Yeah.
It looked like he had been prepared
the
somewhat
Michelin
for
man.
It, but I don't think that he was quite expecting that it was going to be that much of an explosion. It was gross. It was nasty.
Yeah, I mean, and you think of different activities from getting sprayed by a skunk, and I mean, there's a lot of different smells that are out there, but the explosion of a bloated raccoon, deer, moose, whale, all of that stuff is, I mean, that's, again, that's just the way nature works.
Last bit on this, since I want to circle back to what I teased before the break, is if you're going to have a lot of wildlife in your city, and people, you're right, people, they want, we love wildlife.
Love to see those little baby ducklings and goslings.
And
so
turkeys and deer, unless they're in my backyard
Let's
pooping or eating
birds.
My apples and all that stuff. But what that attracts then is things that eat those things, like anything else. We've talked before about how, you know, falcons and
great horned owls
and owls are attracted to people's backyards because we have bird feeders and we like to watch the chickadees flitting around and chickadee dee 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 dee. Boom! They hammer them. They have lunch.
Yep.
Same thing is going to happen if you have geese, goslings, ducks, turkeys, coyotes, red fox, all these varmints. All these I hate the word varmints because it puts such a negative connotation on. I love coyotes.
Yeah, I do too.
But they're going to try to eat these things because right. that's what they do.
That's exactly what works. And we have, we've talked about this before. We have urban coyotes, urban predators, you know, in and around Fargo and Moorhead, and take it to the next level. And I've referenced this before, but if you check out the December issue of National Geographic magazine, you can talk about the coyotes that we have, but there are hundreds of mountain lions that live within the city limits of mm-hmm. Los Angeles and San Francisco and other mountainous type areas. Why? Because there's food there for those animals to eat. And that's just, it's the lowest common denominator. Animals go to find the food where they have to use the least amount of energy. And when there's a high concentration of food in one area, animals congregate towards it. So don't be shocked, don't be surprised when you see stray cats, coyotes, other animals eating baby ducklings. Oh my Northern gosh. Pike eat baby ducklings. They come up out of the water and they snatch it. And that clutch of 10 ducklings is now 9.
Very quickly, just a couple minutes left. Doug, I love this conversation, by the way. The rivers in town, or the river in town here, the Red River, it's just not going back. It's a little bit out of its banks. It's no yeah. big deal. Maybe causes some trouble with my friends at Edgewood Golf Course or Fargo Country Club, whatever. But for the most part, not a big deal. But have guys been able to get out and fish and get on the river and recreate?
It's been kind of limited. I was down on Thursday night down to Wahpeton and up into Fargo, and I was surprised. You know, I know the Red River is dropping, but it hasn't dropped quick enough and fast. And the first thing that cities do when the river drops, it's not like, let's go get the boat ramps out and the fishing piers out there. So have some patience. Hopefully pretty soon. They've got a lot of work to do. At least we're not talking about sandbags and dikes in May and going into June. So the river is dropping. Access should continue to improve, and it might be a little while before you start to see the boat ramps out there and the fishing piers and the banks start to firm up a little bit. They're doing a little bit of fishing, but it seems like it's run fairly limited, Mike.
And I think the bite was pretty good before the floodwater started to come. I was getting some Facebook messages yeah. and people sending me pictures saying that, you know, gosh, the bite is pretty good from shore for walleyes and everything else, but that pretty much shut down once the rain started to come and the river started to rise. It just makes it the fish are biting somewhere, I'm sure, on the river, but it's tough to get at them. It's tough to
It is. And I guess if you're looking for spots, some of those feeder streams and those feeder creeks where some of the food congregates is usually pretty good when the water starts to recede. So those are some pretty good options. And again, whether you're talking Devil's Lake and the coulees, the word is that they're starting to transition out of the coulees a little bit into the shallower bays as well. Some of the best reports I've had are from some of the smaller sloughs and lakes and reservoirs where the water starts to warm up a little bit faster. So,
nice.
Don't let the slower bite keep you home, because it ain't going to get that much better that quick. Get out there and fish and enjoy
it. And also, remember, Christmas is right around the corner, so take advantage of the open water fishing season. Doug Lear, always love talking to you. Thank you, sir.
Have a good weekend, Mike.
You bet. Doug Lear, this is Mike McFeely Outdoors. Jeff Katzer will get the details of Devil's Lake next on KFGO. He can't even bait a hook.